question, why is it easier to ruminate over hurt feelings than it is to bask in the warmth of being appreciated? According to our next guest, it's because your brain evolved to learn quickly from bad experiences, but slowly from good ones. And he believes this can be changed. Rick Hansen's new book, Hardwiring Happiness, lays out a simple method that uses the hidden power of everyday experiences to build new neural structures full of happiness and love and confidence and peace. Dr. Hansen's four steps build strengths into your brain, balancing its ancient negativity bias, making contentment and a powerful sense of resilience the new normal. Rick Hansen is a neuropsychologist and founder of the Wellspring Institute for Neuroscience and Contemplative Wisdom and an affiliate of the Greater Good Science Center at UC Berkeley. Again, the title of the book is Hardwiring Happiness, the New Brain Science of Contentment, Calm, and Confidence. Dr. Rick Hansen, thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here. And please call me Rick, or I'll have to call you Mr. Donahue or something.
Well, that's most guests do. No, I'm just
kidding. Okay, good.
So when you think about this, let us start with just the term, the new science. We have written so much, we've had so many authors on our program over the last 2 years talking about this new science. So ultimately, this science comes from where, and what can we take away from it overall before we get into the specifics of happiness?
Right. And by the way, there's a little static on my line, so if I misunderstand you, please correct me.
Of course.
There's a lot of research about learning. In other words, if you think about it, if you want to develop yourself and become more confident, more patient, more virtuous, happier, more to feel loved inside or to feel more loving, that means changing your brain. But what the research shows is that the brain is very good at learning to become anxious and irritated, self-critical and blue, but it's not very good at learning how to become more confident or happy. So what I've done in the book is to take the research on the neuropsychology of learning and really focus on how to use 10, 20 seconds at a time everyday experiences to convert those experiences into lasting neural structure that's the foundation of inner strengths of various kinds.
So when it comes to happiness and the idea of hardwiring happiness, where are we hardwired now? How are we hardwired as it is right now?
Oh, that's an interesting question. Well, people, you know, typically report with some, you know, significant and unfortunate exceptions, people typically report mild well-being as kind of a baseline. And that is, as it were, a general mood state in the brain that's produced in a combination of really ancient mammalian systems. I think of the little mouse and little lizard inside the brain of all of us interacting with more recent cerebral cortex, the kind of inner monkey inside each one of us. So those systems work as a whole. The problem in part is that the more ancient systems, the so-called reptilian brain and the early, you know, mammalian brain, are very oriented toward avoiding threats. And that was very effective for keeping our ancestors alive in the wild. But these days, that leads us to tend to overestimate threats and feel like life is, you know, threat level orange when it's really not. And that tendency leads us to tend to underestimate opportunities and resources. So it's very easy for the amygdala, for example, the alarm bell of the brain, to overreact to the negative and then learn very quickly from it. People, in general, remember negative information about other people more than positive information. Research shows that couples need at least a 5-to-1 ratio, roughly, of positive to negative interactions. That's a cautionary tale for anyone like me in a long relationship. And we tend to learn faster from pain than pleasure. So for me, the opportunity is to turn that around, because the primary source of inner strengths like resilience or happiness are positive experiences of those strengths. And the opportunity is to turn those positive experiences into neural structure in the flow of everyday life.
You talk in the book about the HEAL method, which you refer to as happiness Velcro, which is a term I never thought I would, two words I never thought I would hear used together. But what is happiness Velcro, and how do we ultimately get that good, the happiness, to stick?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I use the expression that the brain, the default setting in the brain is to be like Velcro for the bad, but Teflon for the good. In other words, that speaks to the ways in which we're biased. Scientists call this the negativity bias that kind of manifests throughout the entire brain, actually, but particularly in its more ancient circuits. The alternative, the option, is to gradually sensitize your brain to everyday small experiences, you know, on the 0 to 10 intensity scale, ones and twos, but to sensitize your brain, 10 seconds here, 30 seconds there, to simple things like accomplishing something, finishing an email, having a moment of pleasure, friendship with a friend, some kind of warmth with somebody, a sense of some good quality inside yourself. These everyday little moments can, in fact, be turned into structure. So what I do is simply draw on thousands of studies on the neuropsychology of learning to look at the two-stage process of learning. First stage, you actually have to activate or have a positive mental state and experience. And then, most important, you need to install it. You need to help it sink into your brain. And so the next steps of the four-step method I have are to enrich the experience. You know, in the famous saying, neurons that fire together, wire together. So you want to get as many of those neurons firing as possible for as long as possible and, you know, all over the place as much as possible. So enriching the experience. Third step, absorb. Prime your memory systems to by intending and sensing that the experience is sinking into you. And then optional step, the fourth step in this simple method I use with an acronym, HEAL, have, enrich, absorb. Fourth step is L for link, which is to hold both negative and positive material in awareness at once, such as a sense of being loved and cared for, while simultaneously feeling in the background of awareness maybe some sense of inadequacy or being let down or lonely, so that the positive material will gradually associate with neurons that fire together, wire together, associate with the negative material, soothing and healing it. It sounds kind of complicated, but in a lot of ways it really, I go into many details in the book about how to do it effectively and apply it to different situations and for different groups of people, including children. But it really boils down to four words, you know, have it, enjoy it, and especially enjoy it. We're pretty good at having positive experiences, but we waste them on the brain because we don't take the extra 10 or 20 seconds with some mindful attention to actually force the encoding process that converts that temporary mental state to a lasting positive neural trait.
So many people are on some sort of, are taking a medication that will either help with panic, anxiety, or depression. And does that in any way impact the hardwiring on our end?
That's another very interesting question. I saw in your profile that you really do read the book, so that's a good thing. So on the one hand, it's a double-edged sword. On the one hand, some medications, especially antidepressants, can blunt people's feelings. They can sort of numb people out. So the good news is that they no longer feel horrible, but the bad news is they no longer feel anything at all. So if you're not able in this two-stage process of activation and installation, that is how we actually grow in our strengths of various kinds, if you're not able to, activate the mental state in the first place to have the rich experience, you can't learn anything from it. So that's on the one hand. On the other hand, sometimes stabilizing a person's biochemistry through a physiological intervention such as Zoloft or Ritalin for as a psychostimulant for ADHD or a tranquilizer, sometimes stabilizing people's biochemistry enables them to feel settled enough and focused enough that they can actually learn from their life experiences. My own view is pretty pragmatic here, and I think on the one hand, sometimes people feel guilty because they use medication as skillful means, and I think, you know, if you need it, you need it. I wear contact lenses. If I get a headache, I take Advil. You know, I think there's a place for things. On the other hand, I think often people are pretty quick to jump to a medication fix and aren't willing to do the hard work, but the vital work, the heroic work of developing themselves psychologically.
Why do you think when it comes, and I guess this question can be made, you know, mental health in general, but of why it's such an integral part, and it is a part that is often stigmatized, and yet it's such an important part, and because we're talking about, yes, our happiness. So why is it so often overlooked?
Happiness?
Our mental health.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, we work on so many things. We talk about, you know, there's gyms all over the place. There's we talk, every program.
Right, exactly.
But when we talk about our mental health, that is something that is immediately often just put aside.
Right. I'm just thinking there about how much effort people put on, you know, getting the best lawnmower to mow their lawn, you know, compared to how much time they put into becoming a more skillful parent or mate or getting more skillful with their own thoughts and feelings. I think that on the one hand, it's easy. I grew up in California, all right, so I think on the one hand there are some pitfalls around always looking on the bright side and this is the best of all possible worlds, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. On the other hand, a lot of research is now showing that happiness is probably the best way to build up resilience and the capacity to deal with the hard things in life, both in the moment and also to build up strengths inside yourself for when the storms of life really do come. Then you've got things inside yourself. Positive emotions, broadly defined. So when I think use the word happiness, I mean both momentary experiences that are, as it were, hedonic, that are pleasurable, like watching your child, you know, finally take a shot in basketball or right. something like that in fifth grade, to more to deeper experiences, sometimes called, as you know, eudaimonia, where people feel fulfilled as if there's meaning in life and they're making a contribution that's important. Those kinds of experiences, especially if you install them, especially if you, you know, use skillful means to help them really sink into your brain, those positive experiences are the primary source, actually, of the inner strengths and the character virtues that we want to grow in our children and grow in ourselves, or if we're in a helping profession, as I am, I'm a therapist, grow in our clients or patients.
Rick Hansen's new book is really fascinating. It is Hardwiring Happiness, the New Brain Science of Contentment, Calm, and Confidence. Dr. Rick Hansen, thank you very much for being with us. It's a great pleasure to have you share your expertise
Joe.
With
thank
us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Again, the title of the book, Hardwiring Happiness, published by Harmony. You're listening to The Roundtable.